I'd have had to rent one. It's all right. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of John chapter 8. Remember a couple of Sundays ago I told you a story about how I'd read in one of those, they used to call them news rags, yellow journalism, the Weekly World, National Enquirer, the story about the lady who wrote a letter to the advice column about her husband wanted her to get washed in lamb's blood and she didn't like the idea of getting bloody. And she wanted to know if she could have him committed, kind of thing. And what should she do? And they told her to run away from him. Well, I bought my daughter-in-law a book for Christmas. And it's the name of the book was, I can't exactly remember, but it's basically, this guy wrote for those newspapers. And he's got copies of all the articles that he made up in there. And I meant to flip through the book before I mailed it to him and see if that letter was in there. Because you wonder, you know, whether something's real or not. But I'm sure some people have felt that way. Because there are people who take literal things spiritually, and then they'll take spiritual things or metaphors literally. Man gets it almost everything exactly backwards. Especially when it comes to the things of the Spirit of God in this book. Anyway, John chapter 8, verse 19 is where I want to start. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Another cheerful message. Well, it is for some people. But these are some very scary words. And if y'all want to know a secret, I'll tell you. Jesus Christ often spoke very scary words. The world doesn't know it. The world doesn't recognize it. What we were talking about before service. What they know of the Bible, a lot of people they know from watching Charlton Heston on TV. What they know of Jesus is from television movies. Not from this book. Yeah. And then if they're like me, they remember badly sometimes. Jesus Christ told us to fear God. Fear him who can cast body and soul both into hell. But when man hears this, if they hear it, they don't understand. Because it's almost as if man doesn't have ears to hear. That was a little bit of sarcasm. Because that's because man does not have ears to hear, eyes that see, or a heart that understands until this day, unless it's been given to them by the God of all grace. But this is Jesus Christ teaching, again, in the temple. He came from the Mount of Olives, where he had went, and he sat down to teach the people that came unto him. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman to him, this is at the beginning of the chapter, who was taken in adultery. They asked Christ what he had to say about stoning this woman. Now they did it to tempt him, to see if they could catch him in a discrepancy. They did it on purpose. Christ ignored them for a while, and they kept asking him while he wrote with his finger in the sand on the ground. What did he write? I don't know. Neither does anybody else, because it's not recorded. He stood up and told them to go ahead and stone her, which was the law. However, he did add a provision. He said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And then he went back to ignoring them. Now, the only question I have about that account, well, it's not the only question, but it's the only thing I was thinking of here, and I've never really heard addressed anywhere except for in this place by Earl or Walter. Where was the guy? Where was the guy? They told Jesus that this woman had been taken in the very act of adultery. So where was the guy? You don't commit adultery by yourself. These men were tempting Christ. They wanted to accuse him of sin. That's what they wanted. They wanted to discredit him. And they wanted to accuse him of not following the law. Well, what's written in the law? This is from Leviticus 20, verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That's what the law says. So where was the guy? Anyway, after Jesus Christ spoke to these men, they all left, one at a time, from the eldest to the youngest. Mostly because the eldest had been around longer and had more to think about, or less to think about, I guess. He asked the woman, where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she replied, no man, Lord. And he replied, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus Christ came not to condemn, because condemnation is already here. Condemnation is already in the world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, that's not speaking of everyone, but we'll continue on because it keeps going. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Anyone that doeth truth his deeds are wrought in God. And what do we have here in John chapter 8? He that believeth not, he that does not believe is condemned already. That's from John 3. This world doesn't need condemning. The world is not being condemned. This world is cursed. It was cursed back in the book of Genesis. And this world is condemned. The elements will melt with a fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then this condemned earth will be replaced with a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He told these Jews here in John chapter 8 that were listening to him that they shall die in their sins. He said it not once. Not twice. He said it three times. The first time was in John 8:21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. As I said, those are some scary words. From Jesus Christ, who is the light. He goes his own way. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the way. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Christ went his way because he is the way. And his way leads unto life, because without him is only death. Amen. Condemnation. And eventually destruction. Ye shall seek me. He told them that. Ye shall seek me. But you're going to die in your sins. Now that's a little bit contrary to what I hear preached today in a lot of places. That's scary. That is indeed scary. Does this mean some will seek Christ and not find him? Sort of what it sounds like it says. It's written, Esau found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Why? Well, it's written also that Esau was rejected. Christ told these men he was going his way. Now that seems to imply there is another way. Not a good way, but another way. He's going his way. Well, there is another way. It's called the broad way. And those on the broad way, in a manner of speaking, are seeking Jesus Christ. But they're on the wrong way. They don't know they're on the way that leads to destruction, because if they knew they were on the way that leads to destruction, they'd get off of it. That story, that illustration by our Lord is talking about religion. And there is a broad way which men think leads to life, but the ends thereof are death. They think they're on the narrow way, which leads unto life. And I remember a sermon from 20-some years ago from Henry Mahan about true faith and false faith. And one of the things he said that really did kind of spooked me was false faith can persevere. You know, we know about the perseverance of the saints, that God will keep them. We are kept by faith, by the power of God, amen, through faith. But one of the things Henry preached about, Walter, and that was one of the first times I heard that mentioned, was that false faith can persevere because people who think they know Christ can die thinking that they know Christ. And Christ spoke about that. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." That's scary. Your preaching, your accurate prophecy, and your casting out of devils may be iniquity. Well, we know false prophecy is wrong. But I think Balaam had some true prophecy, Walter. Didn't do him any good. Because I said it the other day, and I meant it, it's not only the plowing of the wicked that's sin. The plowing of the wicked is sin. So is the preaching of the wicked is sin. It's iniquity. The prophesying of the wicked is iniquity. The casting out of devils of the wicked is iniquity. Christ repeats this twice in verse 24. "I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." There are some who think that we believe and we teach that election is everything. That's all y'all talk about. We don't. However, there are some who do seem to believe and teach that election is all that matters. There are those who teach incorrectly that if you are elect, you'll be saved even if you don't believe. That's where they get into that, yet so as by fire. That's wrong. Amen. Because if you believe not that in Jesus Christ, that he is the Lord of glory, you shall die in your sins. Christ said it three times here. I believe and try to teach the election of God. I believe that the election is in Christ Jesus, and I believe it happened before the foundation of the world. I believe that this election is of grace, not of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. And I believe that the election of grace by God is in Christ Jesus, but I also believe it has results. God's people are not saved by election, saved by Christ.
Amen. That's
First Peter 1 and 2 put it this way, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And it is. Now, I use that scripture right there a lot when I talk to people who think that we are chosen, the choosing happens when we believe. Because there's a lot out there to believe that. That's pretty much Arminian theology for the masses, people I've dealt with. God chooses us based on what we're going to do, or God chooses us when we believe, when we come forward. That's what's taught. And I use that verse right there because we are elect under the foreknowledge of the Father unto obedience, which is believing. Because I read this and I explain that election is unto obedience, not because of. And that's the way a lot of people put it. We're elect because of. But I will also use this scripture to state that election is unto obedience because that obedience has also been given to us. And that's good words. That's not scary. That's what I need. If I need obedience, I need obedience. Jesus Christ said it, if you believe not that I am. What is this obedience that God's children are to come unto? But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our obedience is that we believe that he is. If you believe not that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. He is Lord. He is God, he is wisdom, he is life, he is light, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the Christ of God. He has foreordained that his people are saved by grace through faith, which is the gift of God, not of works. They're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And the only good work that I can be fairly certain of is this. I believe him.
Amen.
Anything else is suspect. It might be good. A lot of times I don't know. And sometimes I think it's good and it's probably not. And other times I think I've messed something up and it turns out to have done some good somewhere else. But the good work I do know is I believe him. He is God. He is Lord, because only the Lord can save. That's why this Jesus is my Savior and I'll make him Lord later is a bunch of hooey. Because only the Lord can save. I mean, that's all through the Old Testament. It's the Lord that saves. And if Jesus Christ saves, he's got to be Lord. Amen. And he does save, and he is Lord. Actually, he is Lord, and he does save. That's the only thing. But it goes deeper. I can't, and it's really bad English to put it this way, but I'll do it again. I can't not believe him. I don't know any other way to put it. I can't stop believing him. Whether I believe I'm one of his or not, because I have doubts about my salvation, I have doubts about me, that I understand. But I don't have any doubts about him.
Amen, that's right.
And that gives me comfort. Yeah. Whether I'm one of his or not, I know he is.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe I am, you can leave that he out of there. It's in italics.
Yeah, leave it out.
I am.
Yeah.
He is. I believe him even when I don't believe myself. And then I'm comforted because that's the way it's supposed to be, according to the book. The doubts and the fears that arise are doubts and fears about me, not about him. Not about his job, not about his work, not about his ability, not about his power, not about his strength. Not about him at all. Any doubts, any fears that arise are about me. Romans chapter 7. And if you think that's, you know, before Paul was saved, you missed the whole point.
Yeah.
Part of it is, part of it ain't. Bad English again. Part of it is not. I'm on tape. I got to be here. I'm on video. Anyway, if you're missing the battle that is inside the child of God, you miss Christ.
Yeah.
Because there is a battle. And I lose. But thankfully, he doesn't.
Yeah.
And he never will. Because he is my only hope.
Yeah.
He is my God. Jesus Christ is my God. And no, Peter was not the first pope, David. Was he, man? Television will tell you all kinds of things. Christ had told these people why they were going to die in their sin. In verse 19, then they said unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. For if ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. He told these people, you don't know God. You don't know his Christ. Because he's standing right in front of them. And you don't know God because you don't know me. To know God, you have to know Christ. Who is God? Who is Lord? Who is the King of all glory? And it's a gift to know Christ. It's given by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the elect hath obtained it. I like that. Because it is given to them by grace, the elect hath obtained it. And it's unto obedience. And they believe that he is. Even if we don't believe we are, we believe he is. And Christ didn't say anything about I had to believe in me. Some fellow who, I don't know anything about him. All I know is he made a statement that I totally disagree with. In order to love God, you've got to love yourself. A little bit. No, that's not exactly what we call the law work. In order to know God, you got to hate yourself.
Right.
And sometimes it doesn't get any better about yourself. It gets better about the Father. It gets better about God. It gets better about Christ every day. Because we're growing, we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, not in the grace and the knowledge of me. Because I don't have it. It's what He gave me. And what He gave me is not about me, it's about Him. But Christ told these people, you don't know God. You don't know me, and because you don't know me, you don't know my Father. And had you known my Father, you'd know me. The blessing with that statement is not in that spot. It comes a little later on. Because the reverse is also true. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Whosoever, that's a whosoever I can live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I believe that. I wish everybody did. Mason, some days I think we do need to quit watching TV. Jesus Christ is God. Very God. Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you believe that He is, you shall not die in your sins. You have everlasting life. And you'll see Him again when He comes. Because He is coming to gather His people. And then all kinds of things are going to happen. Jesus Christ said a lot of scary words. That's because most of His audience didn't believe that He was the one. Just as most of the world doesn't believe. There's many on the broad way and few on the narrow way. Now, He spoke comforting words to His people. But He didn't speak comforting words to the world. He didn't speak comforting words. And that's the part that aggravates me to no end, is that people have this idea that Jesus Christ is a wimp. They do. They have this idea that He's brokenhearted about all His plans going awry. And they never happened. And they're full of it. They're full of themselves.
Yeah, full of themselves.
That's what it is. They're full of themselves. Not one of God's plans, God's purposes, or God's desired effects has ever gone awry.
Amen. That's right.
It's never even gone off course.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is God. And He saves who He pleases, and He damns who He pleases, and He goes where He pleases. And you can't say unto Him, what doest thou? Because He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time and this place. Lord, be with us as Walter comes to teach, to preach your word. And we'll give you the honor and the glory, because it is all of grace. It is all of you, any good that is done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.